Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. A good question from Conan O'Brien, who asks, have we settled on a term for all our new mask-related acne yet? Maskne? Macne? Covimples? Larry the Cable Guy says, I have a big dead spot in my yard, but instead of going through all the effort to plant new grass, I'm just going to grow the grass around it real long and see if I can just comb it over. That's pretty funny. His buddy Jeff Foxworthy spoke to Fox News, which, as you know, is your home for comedy. Fox News asked Foxworthy, as a comedian, what do you make of the cancel culture in today's comedy world? And Jeff said, I talked to my comic friends about this. It was like in the late 80s or 90s, if I was writing a routine, I might say, well, men do this and women do that. And then you would have some man or woman say, well, I don't do that. And, you know, part of me is like, I know it's a joke, you know, play along. But I started writing, I do this, my wife does that. But we've gotten to the point where nobody has a sense of humor about themselves. And my thought is, we're all a mess. We all make mistakes. And in fact, I'd gotten to the point where I was saying when I walked out on stage that I remind myself right before I walk out that everybody's going through a struggle. Everybody. It might be financial, physical, emotional. So I have to grace with people because you don't know what they're going through. And I don't think laughter makes the struggle go away, but laughter is like the release valve that keeps the boiler from exploding. So let's learn to laugh at ourselves. When other people make a mistake, have grace with them. When we make a mistake, we hope people give us grace in return. And I would just love to see us get back to that. Fox News asked if the meaning of the word redneck changed for Jeff over the years since he first started doing comedy. Jeff said, well, I was doing those jokes like when I first started, and it was a response to people calling me that. I understood it. I grew up in the country. I bow hunt. I fish. I drove a pickup truck. And they were always like, oh, Jeff, you're just redneck from Georgia. What I found traveling the country was this isn't just a Georgia thing. You get 20 minutes outside of any city and people were pretty much the same. But even as I was writing them, I always made them about being a glorious absence of sophistication. And so I never viewed it as something nasty or negative. To me, it was more like, hey, here's somebody from the country and they love that lifestyle. Hannah Gatsby spoke to the New York Times and she said, I don't hate comedy. I just think I got to a certain age where that lifestyle was killing me. And in some ways it was easy when I first started because I'd go on stage and no one knew who I was. And then it was like, what is this strange creature? I'll let them entertain me while I wait for the big guy at the end. And then as my career developed, I became in Australia the headliner. I'm sure if I made an active effort to be involved in the U.S. comedy scene, maybe people would like me, but I didn't. And now I don't feel like I want to because I'm old. The CBC spoke to Jim Gaffigan about his new special, The Pale Tourist, which pokes fun at, you know, some of the Canadian quirks. I watched a couple clips of that the other night on YouTube. The full special is on Amazon, but Jim has put a couple clips up on YouTube, and it was pretty good. I was enjoying some of his comedy about the geography of Canada, and he got away from the whole, hey, Jim Gaffigan voice thing for a change, so it was good. I'm sure Jim is thrilled that I like his special. Jim says, I'm somebody who loves traveling and performing internationally. And, you know, being an American and traveling through Canada, you know, for decades now, I acquired some material that's from an American point of view about Canada that I wanted to turn into a special. I don't present myself as the expert. I kind of present myself as this is just my point of view. So I think there's a certain forgiveness there. I guess maybe it probably helps within the context of the generalization of the stereotype that Americans know nothing about other countries. So maybe that's a benefit. Sebastian Maniscalco spoke to Forbes. He said, I think stand-up is definitely needed. It's kind of the voice of the country. As you're sitting in your house doing nothing, you're wondering if your thoughts are paralleled with what other people are thinking. And that's what comedy kind of gives people, I think. When you go out and you hear somebody and they're talking what you're thinking and think it makes people feel better. Sebastian used to open for musical acts, and he was with his agent at the time, who was heavily involved with music, and Sebastian told the agent if they were ever looking for an opener to let him know. So we'd open up for a lot of musical acts on the road, and that made him a stronger comedian. Sebastian said, I'd be walking out on stage with no introduction, nothing, and performing in front of B.B. King's audience. There were acts that skewed a little bit older. It was a different environment, but I looked at it as an opportunity. So the B.B. Kings and Gladys Knights of the world, just a lot of older acts that I used to open up for, and that's kind of how I got my whistle wet. Wow, that's amazing. Mother Jones spoke with Sam B. They said, you've joked on the show about a civil war coming after the 2020 election, but results aside, where do you think the country will be at that point? Sam said, I can't imagine, but blood just started to trickle out of my nose the moment you started talking about it. It's scary. I don't think it's going to be great. I don't have the answer. I'm a shrieking harpy. What are you talking about? I don't have the answer to know how we get back to phony pleasantries. I don't know. Mother Jones asked if she fears that we've reached a point of no return. Sam says, no, it could get much worse. Don't you worry, in a year we'll look back on this and go, oh, remember when? Remember when we were like, is this rock bottom? He went so much further down. Will Sam be one of those hosts that sticks around for decades and decades? And Sam says, God, no, no, thank you. I'm not that much of a media whore. I like being on TV, but it doesn't define me as a person. I've got a lot of TV projects that I'm working on that I can't really talk about, but I'm trying to make all kinds of TV happen for sure. Yeah, I like being on camera, but I also like being behind the camera. I like it all. I can totally handle it. I'm ready. Do you know that I'm a beekeeper? How on brand, how ridiculous. It started recently. Well, my mom used to do it when I was a kid. She dabbled in bees. And then I was like, I want to do that too. I love honey and I eat it constantly. So I got my own beehive and that's a meditation. Trust me. So how many bees does Samantha Bee have? 50,000. That's one hive. I'm very calm around them, and they're very calm around me, and we're all in a mediation together. It's quite nice. That is your comedy news for today. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. You can follow on Spotify. I'm here every day. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.